There's four traps. Certain people. Oh, it's somebody else and it's not me. Or, oh, we give it to these people. They go behind the black curtain, but like they're responsible. The rest of us aren't. So that's certain people trap. Certain times, 3 p.m. brainstorm with a scented marker. So don't get me wrong. I love scented markers. They're like corporate crack. Watermelon's my favorite. But that means we're not innovating in the 39 other hours during the work week. Wasted time, wasted potential. Certain segments, right? The innovation has to be this disruptive technology, breakthrough, blue skies, missing all those little opportunities to innovate that, oh, by the way, stack up into big innovation. And the fourth one is that it's certain processes. All that does is create initiative fatigue. Innovation doesn't live in the process. Innovation lives in the people. And then we figure out the culture and the process to go with it. Hey everyone, Tamara here, your host of Inside Launchery Podcast, the place to be if you're looking to optimize your performance, elevate your game, be more innovative, have a stronger valued voice, all through unlocking the power of innovation, specifically your power of innovation inside of you, your ability to be an everyday innovator. Now today I'm going to jump right in because I want to talk about the four traps that become self-sabotaging behaviors that hold you back from being an innovator, from unlocking it inside of yourself. Earlier this week, I talked about the science of the mind and how you innovate and how I know that everybody's an everyday innovator and the different styles of innovation. It's unique to each of us. We all do it differently. So if you don't have that foundation, I highly encourage you to go back after this and listen to that. And then maybe even come back to this one. But once we recognize that we're an innovator, we've got to make sure not to fall into the traps that hold us back. And I see these traps at the individual level, the team level, and the organizational level as well. So I want to dig into them. And I found they kind of fall into four buckets and what I call the four traps of certainty. That innovation is for certain people, certain times, certain segments, and certain processes. Let me explain to you what I mean. Now, if you're watching me on YouTube, you're seeing that every now and again, I'm looking down to read something. That's because I wrote in depth about this in my book, Innovation is Everybody's Business. And if you want even more depth, go get the book on Amazon. I also wanted to make sure to pull a few key things out for you. So I'm actually going to go look down the book. I'm going to put on my reading glasses and I'm going to get to it. Okay. Let's talk about the four traps of certainty. These are the traps that could be holding you back from being an innovator. They turn into self-sabotaging behavior, even though we don't mean it. And sometimes we even kind of foster this culture that actually hinders innovation in ourselves and those around us. And as I said in the earlier podcast, we're all everyday innovators. We just have to understand how to unlock it and unlight our actions. So we don't want to fall into these traps right after we've done that. So let's start with the first one, and that is the trap of certain people. It's the Richard Bransons, the Elon Musk, the J.K. Rowling, the Lady Gagas, the Beyoncés, the Steven Spielbergs. Like, they're the innovative ones, but not us. So what happens when we do that? Well, we put them up on a pedestal and, you know, bestow them with all the magical abilities while the rest of us are kind of left out. And we study them, we mimic them, and we hope that maybe if we follow their, you know, morning routines, that maybe we'll unlock some magic inside of us. Doesn't really work that way, does it? Here's the thing. There's a couple things about the trap of certain people that really gets under my skin. One is when we assume that innovation, being an innovator, is for certain people, we're really just telling ourselves, well, I am not that person. So therefore, I'm going to shut down that part of my brain, which, as I said in the last podcast, the innovative mind is like a muscle, not technically, but it acts like one. So the more we activate it, the stronger it gets, the less we do, the weaker it gets. So if we're over here believing that innovation is for certain people and being an innovator is only for the select few, then we're shutting that part of our brain down unintentionally. And we're actually putting ourselves at a deficit when it comes to being an innovator. So that's the first part of it that gets under my skin. The second part of it that gets under my skin, and because I'm guilty of this, is here's what happens. So we see someone who's an incredible innovator. They are on the cover of a magazine, and in the magazine is all about their morning routine and how they unlock this incredible innovative thinking and ability and magic that they have. So what do? We look at their morning routine and we go, I'm going to follow that. So we do it and then we fail, which just affirms that we don't have an innovative bone in our body. So then we're like, oh yeah, no, it's definitely them and not me. But here's what happened. So, and I know this, by the way, because of firsthand experience. As I was saying earlier, we all innovate in a way that's unique to us. So if I try to mimic your innovator style, of course I'm going to fail. It doesn't work for me. That's not how my brain works. That's not my style of innovation. It's your style. I'll give you a great example. I was reading this about someone. We'll just say that he is the founder of a big technology company who's changed the world. We'll just leave it at that. And it was talking about his morning routine. It was like 20 minutes of meditation, a cup of coffee with a gratitude journal, and a walk around the block with his dog, and a big block, like 20 minute walk, and big house, I guess. And very specific breakfast every morning. And I thought, oh, I know, if I follow his routine, that'll unlock innovation in me. So I did. And as you can imagine, it failed miserably, which then made me think that made me feel less than, because now here I am and I'm not innovative. I couldn't do it. It didn't help me. And in fact, I failed. So clearly, yep, this person's an innovator and I am not. Well, as I just said, that whole idea that innovation is for certain people is false. And then what we do is we mimic other, try to mimic other people's style of innovation, and then we fail because their way doesn't work for us. So when we put these people on pedestals, we're putting ourselves at a deficit that we don't need to be at. And then we're setting ourselves up to fail by mimicking them in things that don't work for us. So certain people is a huge trap that we have to be very careful not to fall in. And I'm sure you have someone in your organization that is true, or in your work, wherever this is, treated that way. Like they have this magical mojo. They get to come in a little later. They get to say things that are maybe not like kind of toeing the line. They get to like poke the bear, but you don't because you're not the innovator. So frustrating. Frankly, I've never understood why if you're the leader of a company, I never understand two levels. One is if you're the leader of a company, why would you give the power and the responsibility of innovation to a select few when you've got all these other people? Why wouldn't you tap everybody? If you have 100 people, why would you say to 4 people, you get to be innovators, but the other 96, you don't? Why wouldn't you paying everybody? Why wouldn't you want to tap the power of everybody? And oh, by the way, those other 96 are out there doing the work too. Why wouldn't you want their perspective on it? I've never understood that. I feel like you're leaving so much human potential out that you could be gaining. You're missing those solutions and ideas as a leader. As an individual, I've never really understood it, because why wouldn't we want to live up to our full potential? Like why wouldn't we want to be the best we can be? Why would we abdicate that to somebody else when we can have that too? You know, I'll never forget, I was leading a session with a bunch of leaders from a lot of different companies, just a whole range of industries. And one of them was at a very large national law firm. And at one of the breaks, she came up to me after and she said, "Tamara, let me ask you your opinion on what my company is doing. We've got a drive to be a culture of innovation. And we know we've got to keep up with change. And we know we've got to do things differently for the, like, you know, our customers' needs are changing, all of that." And so she said to me, "Tamara," she said, "here's the thing." She said, "this is what the company did." She said, "so they've set up a cross-functional team. That cross-functional team is responsible for assessing the organization and where innovation needs to happen in our organization. And then they're going to come back to us and tell us where innovation needs to happen so that we can go do it. What do you think of that?" Now, I have a feeling, because you're here and you know kind of where this is headed. So instead of giving her an answer right away, I said, "well, help me understand. First, I have a question for you. How does that make you feel?" And you could visibly see her whole body shift and kind of sink in. And she said, "you know, it doesn't make me feel very good. In fact, it makes me feel bad. I've never been so disengaged." It's like, so these 4 or 7, whatever's on the team, people, they're the ones with the innovative ideas, but me out there doing the work and engaging with the clients every day, I don't. Like, how does that make sense? It makes me feel like my ideas aren't valued in this company. So when we make innovation about certain people, we are minimizing our own ability to innovate by abdicating that responsibility and putting others on a pedestal. We're putting ourselves at a deficit. And if we're a leader and we're doing that inside of our organizations, we're actually, there's this horrible kind of side effect that's happening that's kind of squelching not just innovation, but engagement and productivity across your organization. You are basically telling everybody else who's not part of the innovation team that they don't matter. Now, here's the thing. I know that people need to be accountable for innovation. So having someone or a team accountable for making sure it happens across your organization is good. We can get into that conversation another time if you want. But what I'm trying to kind of really bring to light here is this trap of certain people takes away the responsibility of innovation. You can have some people accountable for innovation, but everybody needs to be responsible for innovation. So that trap of the select few of certain people really hurts yourself and the people you lead and the teams and the output that comes out of it. Again, I've never understood it. You are leaving, not you specifically who's listening, but you know, you, that person, you're leaving so much human potential and ideas and innovation on the table by making it a select few. And if this is something you're nodding your head and you're going, you know what, Tamara, I'm guilty of that. I've made Bob and Mary and Billy down the hall, like they're the innovative ones, not me. You're doing yourself a disservice. You're telling your brain, yeah, you're right. You're not innovative. Never mind. You're making it harder on yourself than you need to be. And you're leaving a lot of your own potential on the table. So the first trap, certain people, don't fall into it. Innovation is for everybody and it's everywhere. All right. The second one is it's the trap of certain times. Usually that time is a 3 p.m. brainstorm with a scented marker where you're trying to create breakthrough ideas. And it starts with whoever's facilitating the meeting, you know, with their blank marker up there saying, okay, everybody, let's warm up by saying, if you were an animal in the jungle, what would you be and why? And that's supposed to like spark our innovation. When we minimize innovation to a specific time, we are, again, removing it from all those other times where innovation needs to happen. Innovation, the best innovators know, and this is you included and me included, know that being an innovator means innovating when you're rolling up the sleeves and doing the work and out there in the thick of it, because that's where it is, you're in the thick of it. Of course, that's where the best innovation comes from. When we relegate that innovation at 3 p.m. brainstorm, we're then shutting it down all the other times. And here's what else you may have experienced that happens. When we do that, right, we're telling our brain, all right, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., don't innovate. You just put your head down and get work done. And then at 3 p.m., like we're supposed to suddenly shift gears and be wildly innovative. Well, both of those things fail, don't they? First of all, in that time where you're doing the work, wouldn't it be great if you could come up with that innovative solution, create a problem solving technique, like whatever it is that gets you through that hurdle? Wouldn't that be great if it was happening in the moment and not waiting for a brainstorm? And then the other thing I've often experienced is that in the brainstorm, those things run flat because, you know, we're being told to keep our heads down and not do anything for 7 hours. And the 1 hour of the workday, we're supposed to be innovative and suddenly have a magical genie come out. And it doesn't really work that way. And let's just do the math for one second. If we had 40 hours in a work week and we have a 1 hour brainstorm, and most of us, let's face it, work more than 40 hours, that's 39 hours where you're not being an innovator. That's that's 97.5% of your time where you're not being an innovator because you're waiting for that one time. Makes no sense to me. Innovation is not about certain times. And being an innovator is absolutely not about 3 p.m. versus 9 a.m. It's all the time and it's everywhere. So to unlock that everyday innovator inside of you, part of the key to that is to get over that trap of certain time and recognize that innovation is being an innovator is a mindset and a way of approaching your work in your life. Okay, so the third trap that I see us fall into is that innovation is certain segments. And we see this in the media all the time. It's like the disruptive technology, the breakthrough invention. So that's all great. But I've often found that the best innovators and the best innovation is happening in the places we least expect it. It's in a process improvement. It's in the departments that are not glamorous or sexy. It's in all those little things across your work and life that actually add up. That's where great innovation is. And that's what happens when you unlock being an everyday innovator. I've worked with project management, IT, internal auditing, you know, organizations and teams. There's so much room for innovation if you just rearrange the boxes right in front of you. So I think this myth that we, or just trap that we fall into is that innovation is like, you know, this disruptive big blue skies out of the box. That's great. And if you have the gumption to go after it, good for you. That's awesome. Do it. And recognize that amazing innovation happens in all those little places as well. Here's an interesting thing, by the way, the unintended consequence that I've heard many times from people in our community about kind of outside the box, disruptive blue skies thinking. And I want to share with you a conversation I had that really brings this to life. So someone on our online academy, I was talking to them and they said, you know, my boss has asked me and all of us, they've given the mandate of blue skies innovation. Like it has to be breakthrough. And here's what she said to me. She said, here's the problem I'm having with that is what I realized is it shut me down. She said, you know, I go breakthrough, I go blue skies. I have an hour of what I feel like is, you know, fun and playful. She said, but in the back of my mind is, but what am I going to do when I bring it back to my reality? What do I do when I bring it back to the box that I have to deal with? It's not going to work. She goes, so every time we're given this mandate of out of the box thinking or blue skies, she said, I almost treat it like playtime that I'm not going to do anything about later. It's like recess, but I'm not bringing any of recess back with me. She said, what I really need to start doing is marry both the close in and the further out so that I can push myself, but also have it okay to innovate around the box that I have. So I thought she so clearly articulated a challenge so many of us face. And that's why this trap of certain segments falls in is a big one for me and is deep in the book, because we fall into this trap of thinking it has to be breakthrough, blue skies, disruptive. Well, that's all great. But as she was telling me, you got to marry that with the box that you have right in front of you, your challenges, your resources, your time. You can be incredibly innovative with the boundaries that you have. In fact, we often think that structure and innovation are mutually exclusive and never the two shall meet and they hinder each other. But that's actually couldn't be further from the truth. Some of the best innovation that I've seen, some of the best creative thinking from everyday innovators like you and me that I've seen have come from places with really big boundaries. So get out of the trap of certain segments that it has to be breakthrough. It has to be disruptive technology. It can be the small little things like how you rearrange your schedule so that you're more productive. It can be how you build a team together to get a project done. It can be how you approach a project. It can be how you do new business. It can be a new product or service you bring to market. It's all those things. Innovation's not for certain segments, and everyday innovators don't need to be in certain segments to make it happen. Okay, so the last one is certain processes. Now, if you've worked for a progressive-minded company, you may have heard something like this before. Are you ready for it? We have a new innovation initiative we're rolling out over the next couple of months. Okay, for real though, are you rolling your eyes at me while I said that? Like, we have a new innovation initiative. Here's the, yeah, I'm laughing in camaraderie with all of us because I have made the mistake of doing this and I have been on the other side of this mistake as well. Here's the challenge. When we make innovation a process or initiative that we have to follow, we create initiative fatigue in ourselves and in those around us. It's just another process that we have to deal with. It's just another initiative that we have to follow. Process first innovation, when we segment innovation to a process, like you have to do it a certain way, actually it creates two challenges. One is, as you know from being a part of this community, we all innovate in a different way. So if you give me one process, some people that process might work for, but 95% of those people doesn't. So if you've started a process, you're like, this doesn't work for me, but everybody says this is the innovation process, you start to feel bad about yourself, but it's not you. It's a square peg, round hole. So I think that's a big challenge of process. The other thing, the other challenge it creates is process first innovation fails because what it doesn't have is the human side. It doesn't have buy-in. People don't understand how they fit into the process, the value that they add to the process. That's why in our work at Launch Street and with everyday innovators, it is all about human-centered innovation, how you innovate, how your team innovates, how you create and tap the power of diversity of thinking on your team and how you create that to build a culture and a process of innovation that works for you. What I have found is that process-first innovation fails, but people-first innovation allows you to actually scale, grow, and sustain innovation efforts, both in yourself and in the teams that you lead. So the idea that it's innovation is has to be kind of cemented into a certain process is setting yourself up to fail. I can't tell you the number of calls I've gotten from people who have turned into clients, and they've called me because they said, Tamara, we've invested a ton of money in this process, this innovation process, whatever is the latest and greatest, and it's not working. We're not getting buy-in. We know it works, but nobody's using it. We don't know what to do. Well, what to do is to back up, understand how everybody on your team innovates, and then figure out if that process is right. I'm not against any innovation process that gives people some tangible structure to work within, because I think that's a good thing. Innovation can be very fluffy and subjective and it like means different things to different people. Talk about the definition in that past podcast. But I also know from experience that just overlaying a process onto people who don't buy into the fact that they're everyday innovators, or that the magic, you know, the kind of the secret sauce to success is going to be in this process that they then have to follow, it doesn't work. We got to back up, and we got to unlock the people and our own ability to innovate, our own buy-in to the fact that we're innovators, an understanding of how we innovate and the people that we connect with and collaborate with, how we all innovate. Once we get that, the processes tend to work. I've got one client in particular, very large, just call it public energy company, for lack of a better way to say it. And that was one of the conversations we had. And my job at Launch Street and my team's job, it wasn't to waste the time, the money, and the energy they had spent on putting this initiative in the company. It was to leverage it. And it was to make sure that they actually used it to complement what they already done. So what we did is we backed up and we got everybody the IQE and we got them on board to being innovators. And then they could use the process that they'd originally purchased and spent a lot of money on. So this idea that innovation sits in certain processes is false. You got to back up. We got to innovate and unlock that everyday innovator inside of the people. Then we can get to the process and the culture in the way that works for us and the teams that we lead. So to summarize, there's four traps. Certain people, oh, it's somebody else and it's not me. Or, oh, we give it to these people, they go behind the black curtain, but like they're responsible, the rest of us aren't. So that's certain people trap. Certain times, 3 p.m. brainstorm with a scented marker. So don't get me wrong, I love scented markers. They're like corporate crack, watermelon's my favorite, but that means we're not innovating in the 39 other hours during the work week. Wasted time, wasted potential. Certain segments, right? Innovation has to be this disruptive technology, breakthrough, blue skies, missing all those little opportunities to innovate that, oh, by the way, stack up into big innovation. And the fourth one is that it's certain processes. All that does is create initiative fatigue. Innovation doesn't live in the process. Innovation lives in the people. And then we figure out the culture and the process to go with it. All right. I hope that helps. I hope that you can take some time to look around you and just pay attention to where you think either you personally are falling into those traps, or the teams and the organizations that you're in are falling into those traps. That awareness is going to change how you engage, how you interact, and maybe even how you approach innovation. And I just got to say, I am super proud of all of you everyday innovators in this community. You are tireless in not just your recognition of you and how you innovate, but creating that ripple effect out into the world. And you know, our goal over here at Launch Street is to unlock 1 million innovators into the world, because just 1 million of us took the assessment, understood how we innovate and aligned our actions and actually lived it every day. Imagine for a moment the problems that we'd solve, the opportunities that we'd create, the joy and the satisfaction we'd all feel. To me, I think that would create such a strong community. We'd be the rising tide that lifts all boats across the world. And that to me is really exciting. So thank you for being here. All right, with that, Tamara out.